listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I want you to know that we have a significant attachment to this church in the Chuuk family. Joel Chuuk and his wife and family are very much part of this house, and we are excited for their ministry to this church. Relationally, they are part of this house, significant ministry to the body of Christ. I want you this morning to stand to your feet and welcome Joel Chuuk as he comes to minister the word of God to us today. Come on, Joel. Bless you, my friend. Band's going to help you here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God this morning. Thanks, Ben. It's always a privilege to share the word of God, and you know, sometimes I don't know what God is going to say, but I this morning I was getting ready, and the kids, they go, "You need to wear a tie." I go, "Why?" They say, "Well, because tie will make you look like a businessman." I go, "Okay, I'll wear a tie. You know, I want to look like I know what I'm doing." You know, so, yeah. All right, just close your eyes for a little bit. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning. Have your way. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning, and that word that will bring transformation, and that word that will bring, that will touch. Let the word that will come out this morning, let it speak to our hearts, let it speak to our minds, and let it speak to our soul. And Lord, I pray that it would impact us tremendously, God. Jesus, may you be exalted. May I decrease and may you increase. And only you shall be exalted this morning. We return all the glory and all the honor. Thank you for what you're doing in this house, God. And thank you, Lord Father, for that which is ahead that you have spoken that you will do. For your word does not come back to you void, without accomplishing the purpose where you've sent it for. So we thank you, Lord, because your word will manifest. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I wanted to teach a little bit this morning. I don't know how much time we have, but wanted to dive right in if I can find my Bible. So I was praying and I was asking God, how many of us was blessed last night? It was really an amazing time. It's one of those things. I walked in and I could feel the presence of God, and just, you know, I was in Grace Harbor for 15, 16, 17 years. And, you know, to get people together like that in Grace Harbor, that is a big deal. It's a big deal for people to come together from different churches and be part of what God wants to do without, bringing anything, any self into it. So it was refreshing. You know, that I started thinking maybe we should move back to Grace Harbor, you know. No, we're not moving back. We like where we are. But it's amazing to see that, and, you know, and the most amazing part of it is that God is using the young people to do it. That's amazing. You know, Pastor was talking about it earlier. God is, you know, transferring into another generation that he wants to use, because the thing about God is generational. God is a God of generational. So He moves from generation to generation. But understand this, when he moves in different generation, he's still God. He never changes. So what he does in a generation, he does again in another generation, but even better. Because he moves in each generation based on how open that generation is to him. Now, God is not limited at all, but we can put limitation on God. We can put limitation on God. So God is always moving, always willing, and actually even more willing to move than we desire. But sometimes we put that limitation on God. A generation stops, and a generation stops seeking God. And so, okay, I got to stop. I got to do something really quick. Can I pray for you, Andre? Can you come up? I want to pray for you. You know, sometimes you got to just stop and do whatever God wants you to do. I feel like you've been, you know, believing God for some things, and you've been praying for a long time, trusting God. And I feel like there is, you know, there is that part also that you're, you know, a little bit worried about your kids, and but you're also praying for them and trusting that the promises, there are some promises that God has given you years back, and you're still holding onto those promises. And I hear the Lord saying that he's bringing you into a season of joy. That he's bringing you into a season of joy. And that everything that you have experienced in life and everything that has happened in your life is for this season that he's taking you into. And in that season, you're going to start to see shift, not just in your life, but in the lives of your kids. You're going to start to see things shift. You're going to start to see things move, even relational in their lives. Because you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you have believed God for them. But I hear the Lord saying, do not worry, for I have them, for you have given them to me, and I have a watch over them. Let me see your hand. Holy Spirit, let your presence, God, rest upon her. That presence, God, yes, it's coming. It's coming. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just stretch forth your hands. Pray for her. Pray for her. I really sense that God wants to do something in her life. I sense that there is a faithfulness that she has been towards God, even times that nobody knew about it, that she's been faithful and crying out to God and praying. And I really believe that God is doing some things in her life even now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mashete prakata bosute pata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you even this morning. Even this morning. Can I pray for you really quick? You see, when I was sitting over there, I really felt that God is going to set the youth on fire in this church. I'm telling you. He's going to set the youth on fire in this church, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful to see the fire of God. And that's what I see over you. I see the coal of fire of God over you. And let me say this. Sometimes people misunderstand you. There's this creativeness. I hope I'm saying the word. English is my second language, so don't judge me. There's this creativity that God has deposited in you. Very, very strong creativity. And a lot of times people don't understand you. People misunderstand you. They misunderstand what you're saying. And you sometimes you feel a little bit frustrated that they're not listening. They're not getting you. But that passion of what God is putting in you is so strong. And I see the fire. I see the fire of God even so strong that will come upon you that sometimes people your age will think, what is going on with her? You know, something is happening. It is the fire of God that God is. Give me your hand. Oh, Holy Spirit, set her ablaze even now, God. Set her ablaze. Set her ablaze, God. Let your fire, God, that fire that would quicken every part of her, God. That fire, God, that will set her apart. Lord, set her apart, God. Set her apart. I hear the Lord saying, you don't have to fight to belong. He said, I've set you apart. You are fine where you are. You are fine. You are where I need you and I want you to be. Spirit, and I release, God, the refiner's fire even upon her now, Jesus. Let heaven just begin to touch every part of her and begin to bring healing even in every part that she needs a touch, every part of her life, God, that she needs you to touch. Let that healing begin to flow. And I quicken every creativity that you have in her, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is going to speak to your heart. Even now, and you're going to start to hear God. You're going to start to hear the Spirit of God even stronger. And God is bringing you into a season where you will dive into His Word. You'll be so hungry for the Word of God, be so hungry for God. So I gotta preach. So open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. It's a blessing to be able to share the Word of God, and my wife is here. Yeah. All right. Amen. Says Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everybody say the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning I want to talk to you about I want to talk to you about something. Oh, okay. Okay. So, Father, right now we pray against depression and suicidal thoughts right now, Lord. Just begin to pray right now. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Father, we come against every suicidal thoughts and every depression. We curse it right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak life. We speak life right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak destiny by the Spirit of the Lord. We speak destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My son texted me that and said, Dad, somebody is dealing with depression in this room. And so we have to pray. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for young people. And so looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So looking unto Jesus, this morning I want to talk to you about the source, the beginning of your faith and the end of your faith. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Because the source of your faith matters. I'm going to say that again. The source of your faith matters. Now, we live in a society where we don't have to believe God for a lot of things. We live in a society where you don't have to believe God for a lot of things. You don't have to believe God for the meal you're going to eat. Now, understand, there are people in different parts of the world that is the faith that they have to summon together to be able to eat. So there are things that our society has made it easier for us that we don't have to believe God for. But I understand this, that the government is not the source of your faith. Your job is not the source of your faith, because you can lose that job anytime. When you make Jesus, when Jesus becomes the source of your faith, that your eyes is only sitting on Jesus, nothing else. You're not looking at anything else. You're not looking at your bank account. You're not looking at how much your paycheck is, because you know, okay, I'm getting this paycheck. And you, in your head, how many of us, before your paycheck come in, is already gone? I'm the only one. That's fine. That's fine. I tell the truth. You know, before that paycheck is gone, you've calculated everywhere. Everybody's taking theirs. Uncle Sam took most of it. And so now you have to trust God to live. And that is one thing that a lot of times in America we don't experience that. Or sometimes we do. But when you understand that your faith is not derived in what you can do, because if you can do it, it's no longer faith. Faith is derived in things that you cannot do. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it's faith, the evidence of things you hope for. So you're hoping for this, and it's out of your hand. See, when man stops, that's where God starts. When the ability of man fails, God steps in. And sometimes the reason why God doesn't step in is because, even number one, we don't acknowledge that our ability has failed us, or we are refusing to accept that we cannot do this, that we need God to be able to do it for us. And so we are struggling and struggling and struggling and trying to do it on our own. The Samuel says, by the arms of the flesh shall no man prevail. So you're trying to do it by yourself without understanding that the source of your faith is not self. You're not dependent on yourself. You're not dependent on what you can do and what you cannot do. But you are dependent on the God that can do all things. He can do all things. There is nothing that God cannot do. He can do all things. So when you start to depend on him as a child of God, you realize, wait a minute, I am serving a God that is able to do anything. And understand this, God is not a respecter of any man. God is, you see, you go to John chapter 14. I don't have time to read all the scriptures, but you go to John 14. Jesus said this, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that my Father will be glorified in me. You really think it's about you? No, it's way more than you. Because God wants to do those things so that he can be glorified through his son, Jesus. So there is more that is at stake, more than you just getting what you need. He said, if you ask it, I will do it, so that my Father will be glorified in him, in me. So the Father has to be glorified in Jesus, and for that to happen, Jesus has to move on your behalf. And so when you see that the source and the person you're depending on is more than enough to do the things you're asking, then it brings you to a place where nothing can stop you. Let me tell you, what Ben and his group did yesterday, it takes faith. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for a long time. It takes faith to pull that off. You really have to depend on God. And that's the thing. A lot of times we don't take a step of faith because we really don't trust God. We talk about and we preach and we talk about faith. But when it comes down to it, we don't really, really trust Jesus. Because if you trust and know that Jesus can do anything, then you will come out of that place of limitation. You will come out of that place where you put limits on God. You put limits on what you can do. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Now understand this. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. And he was afraid, and he said, Master, if that's you, speak and tell me to come. So understand this. Peter could have just got out of the boat. He saw his master walking on the water. I mean, what? He could have just jumped out of the boat and started walking on the water without Jesus saying anything. Now understand this. Peter would have been fine. Because the presence of Jesus makes impossibilities possible. Just his presence alone. Jesus didn't need to tell Peter to come. But Peter knew that he needed the word from God to be able to make that move. And that sometimes becomes the problem when we don't hear a word from God. So Peter said, bid me to come, and Jesus said, go ahead, the floor is yours. Peter steps out of the water, he starts walking. Peter was fine. Peter was walking on the water. And Jesus was watching him. The disciples, they were all watching him. And then the enemy steps in and brings wave. Because let me tell you one thing. The enemy knows that if he can get you to doubt God, he has you where he needs you. Because he knows that men and women that know how to depend on their God, who know their God, man, they will do exploit. They will move mountains. So the wind came, and the Bible said, and Peter was scared. Now he forgot that Jesus is standing right here and Jesus told him to come over. He forgot all of that because that's what happens. When fear hits, you forget about everything else. And Peter started to sink. Jesus reached out, grabbed him. Now, Jesus is not controlled by space. The Bible didn't say that Peter was close to Jesus. He was walking. Jesus, how did Jesus get there right away? Jesus is not controlled by space. He reached out, pulled him. And the only thing he said to Peter was, "Why did you doubt? Why? Peter, you could have done this. You could have walked all the way to me. And it would have been in history that you walked on the water all the way to me. But all of a sudden, you doubted. All of a sudden, you had the faith. But the enemy started throwing this wind and everything around you. And then you doubted. And when that doubt came in, you see, God is not an island. God can do anything. He can move. He doesn't need you to move. But he chooses to get you involved to move. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't need you to move, but he chooses to involve you to move. Why? Because you are his image. Has it occurred to you that you actually carry everything that the Father carries? Everything that God carries, we carry, because he said, "Let us make man in our own image." So we are the image of the Father, and that means that what the Father carries is what we carry. The problem is that sometimes we don't know how to engage into the realm of the Spirit to manifest things the way the Father manifested them. He created things out of spoken words. Now, where were those things before he created them? They were in him. The Bible says without him, nothing was created that was created. So the earth, everything was already in the Father. When he spoke them, they came to pass. Jesus said in Mark 11, he says, "If you shall say to this mountain, be thou moved, and you do not doubt in your heart." He says the mountain, you see, we have to take the word of God as literally as it gets. If he says, "Speak to this mountain and it shall be moved," if you don't doubt in your heart. So God is not the problem then. What we're fighting is the doubt that we're dealing with. That's what we're fighting. The doubt that we're dealing with. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree withered. And these guys were, "Who? What in this man? We don't understand you." And Jesus said, "No, it's not about that. This thing that I can do, you can do it as well. The problem is that you doubt." The problem is that we doubt God so much. There is so much unbelief even in the church that even sometimes you're talking to some believers about things and you get to a point where you're done talking, you're so depressed because the things that you're talking about, they don't understand it. They don't get it. So you're trying to expand what the word of God is saying. You are a child of God, and you are a child of God. That's one thing you need to get into yourself first. You are a child of the kingdom. And as a child of the kingdom, if God spoke words and it manifested, if God spoke to word or spoke word and the earth was created and all this was created, don't you think you have the same power in you? The Bible says that the life and death is in the power of your tongue. That is the power that God carries. That when he says things, it will happen. There is no doubt in God. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, there was zero unbelief in him. Because he knew who he was. And Jesus was walking in Mark chapter 5.
And the crowd, everything was just flying in him. And this woman said in her heart, nobody prayed for her. The Bible says she said in her heart, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. So this woman in her heart, she made up the faith that she had only by hearing about Jesus. She said, I don't even need this man to pray for me. I don't even need him to lay hands on me. All I need to do is if I can get close to him and touch the hem of his garment. You know why she believes that? Because the Bible says that the Messiah has healing in his wings. So she understood that. She knew that everything about Jesus is power. That man was loaded with power. So I don't need to even touch his skin. I just, what he's wearing, that's all I need to touch. Because what he's wearing carries same anointing that is upon his life. She touched Jesus, and Jesus stopped. Now understand this, crowd of people, Jesus knew that something just happened. Why? Because, you see, God responds to faith. God will always, until the end of the earth, God will always respond to faith. God is naturally attracted to faith. Just like the same way that the devil is attracted to fear. When there is fear, the devil comes in and he sits down. When there is faith, God comes in and he takes the room. He takes the place. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter said, well, why are you asking this question? There are so many people. Anybody. No, Jesus said, no, you don't understand. This touch is different. Because the virtue is gone out of me. You see, the Bible didn't say that Jesus released something. Jesus was telling Peter, this woman pulled something out of me that I didn't release. But her faith made it possible for that to happen. Say, virtue went out of me. I didn't release it, but her faith attracted what I carried. And the woman came forth and Jesus said, it's already done. Don't worry about it. And while, remember, Jesus was going to Jairus' house when he was stopped. And at the end of all this, somebody came and told Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't worry the master anymore. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, only nothing else. Jairus, you don't need to do nothing. You just believe. Now understand this. How are you supposed to believe? They just came and told you that your daughter is gone. How? I don't know. Because me, personally, the first thing I would have done is fall on the ground, pass out. That's the first thing. But Jesus said, no. Believe. And not only that, when Jesus went to the house, he put out everybody. Let me tell you this. Sometimes you have to shut down those voices that bring unbelief to you. He said, I need everybody, the grandpa, the grandma, aunts and uncles and all of that, everybody out. Everybody. I only need Peter, John, and James. Not even other disciples. Only three of those. Because he was trying to teach them how to operate in their call. He said, only believe. You see, faith, you are not the source of your faith. your gifts, your grace, all of that, those are not the source of your faith. The source of your faith is Jesus. And the end of your faith is Jesus. Without Jesus, there is nothing. That, you see, without Jesus, we don't have faith. So when you start to build your faith around, you know, you look at bank account and everything is good, you're not worried about nothing, you're moving around, you're enjoying life, and you don't think you need faith. You need faith to wake up in the morning. You need to trust God every day of your life. It says, when you pray and you do not doubt in your heart, you shall have what you pray. So you pray. This is sometimes how we pray. We pray. Now, this happens to everybody. It happens to me. I am praying. And in my head, I'm analyzing that situation. Okay, how is God going to do it? So God has to do this. And then he has to move this around. And I'm analyzing it while I'm praying. Trying to figure out the way God wants to do it. So you're doing your job of praying, and you're doing God's job, because it's not your job to figure out how God is going to do it. He's going to do it how he wants to do it. It might not be how you want him to do it. Most of the times it does not happen the way you want it, because he knows the end from the beginning. And those things that we desperately want sometimes might not be what we need. And God will always give us our needs, not our wants. And you're praying, and all of a sudden, trying to figure it out, all this doubt starts to come in. And you can feel it in your heart that doubt is coming in. You can feel it. You know it. And that's why the centurion man, when Jesus said, "Do you believe?" said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." There is still some unbelief that I'm battling with. There are still some areas that, God, I haven't trusted you fully. And this happens sometimes. We trust God in some areas, and then there are some areas that we're still struggling to trust and to let go. But I'm telling you, when you learn how to say, "God, I put this thing in your hands, and I let it go. And I trust your word that says that you keep whatever is put in your hands. And I know that you will keep this. I know that you will do this." And you let it go. And what do? You start to thank him for that. Remember what the angel told Daniel. Said, the very first day you prayed, you got an answer. You see, sometimes we don't need to pray, you know, pray for one thing over and over and over. Because when you understand that the minute you pray that God heard you, then what you do, you start to thank him for hearing you. So he said, the minute you prayed, that the answer was given, and I was coming to give you the answer. Why did it take 21 days for Daniel to get his answer? Because he kept praying for the same thing over and over. He didn't realize that if he had stepped into worship, if he had stepped into thanking the Father, there is one thing that the devil cannot stop. There is one thing that the devil cannot come in between, and that is worship. Understand this. When worship starts to go forth, everything that is created by God gives way, because that belongs to him alone. The angels, they all give way and they join in that worship. The devil does not have any room in that. He cannot. God will not let him. So when you start to worship, it breaks open the atmosphere. When you start to thank God for the things that you haven't seen, you haven't seen it, but you're saying, thank you, God, for blessing me with this. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you. You haven't seen it yet, but you are thanking him for it. And I'm telling you, those are the things that moves the Father and moves him into work. But if you're sitting and complaining about it, who is so bad? Things are so bad. Who are you inviting into it? The devil, the same one that is causing the problem. Because he likes pity party. I'm telling you, he will get his recliner and he can sit in your living room. Because that's where he thrives. He thrives in those situations. But the Father thrives when you know that you have a God that loves you so much. He's so crazy about you that every single morning he's waiting for you to say good morning. Like, literally, is he going to say good morning? He's waiting. He's excited to hear from you. He's excited to fellowship with you. God is more into you than you are into him. God is chasing you more than you're chasing him. You can never, never get close to the way God is chasing you. Because Jesus said nobody comes to the Father except he's drawn. So the Father is drawing you in, pulling you in. And all you need to do is say, God, I'm not going to worry about this thing anymore. I'm just going to give it to you. Because worrying about it does not, number one, solve your problem. Even the doctor tell you that. They go, stop stressing out about it. It's not good for your brain. They tell you that. Stressing out about it does not solve your problem. But let me tell you what will bring God into it. When you step out of that boat and you say, God, it doesn't matter what is around me. The situation around me looks pretty bad. But God, I choose to trust you. I choose to depend on Jesus because he's the source of my faith. My trust in him is where I get my peace. That's where I get my hope. And I will trust him. I will give him my whole trust. And I will start to speak to these mountains that are surrounding me. And I will not doubt in my heart. They said, Jesus, how were we not able to cast out this devil? We've been with you for too long. And Jesus said, the only reason is unbelief. That's all. Nothing else. Unbelief. Because you might think, oh, I don't have the anointing. Oh, stop that. Unbelief is the problem, not anointing. Every one of us, we are all anointed. But what puts that barrier is unbelief. When you pray for somebody, you're praying for them, and you have unbelief in you if God is going to answer that. I stopped doing that a long time ago. If I pray it doesn't happen, that's God's problem, not mine. That's his problem, not mine. Because I'm only doing what he asked me to do. And when I'm doing what he asked me to do, he's going to have to do something about it. So remove yourself out of it. We have become so selfish that it's everything. We just put ourselves in everything. And we refuse to look unto Jesus. It's all him. He can change that situation in just in seconds. He can change it. All he's saying, only believe. Let's stand to our feet, please. Only believe. Only believe. That's all. That's all. It doesn't matter what the struggle is right now. You see, you are serving a God that is not limited. You can say, well, I am not righteous enough. That's why Jesus died for you anyway. If you're righteous, then you don't need Jesus. Oh, I'm not good enough. Well, that's why you need Jesus. Because if we are good enough, then we don't need Jesus. But understand this. The righteousness of Jesus is what you're operating out of, not your own righteousness. Because the righteousness of Jesus is powerful more than anything that is in you. The righteousness of Jesus. So there is no excuse. Oh, I haven't been saved for a long time. That's not an excuse, because you can trust God. I remember when I had gotten born again, I started preaching everywhere, and I was on this rich people's street. You know, rich folks street. I was on there, and I had my megaphone and speakers. I was crazy when I got born again. I'm telling you, I was out of it. Part of it was lack of wisdom, you know. When you get born again, Pastor, there's no wisdom. You just do whatever. If Bible says it, I do it. I don't care. So I was in this place preaching, and this guy comes out, and he stood there, and I mean, 5 a.m. in the morning. I was disturbing that neighborhood. And so, so this guy comes out. When I was done preaching, he calls me. He said, can I talk to you? I said, of course. He said, if you show up here again, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm telling you, in Africa, somebody tells you they're going to shoot you, you better run. They're going to do it. There's dead body everywhere. Nobody cares. People drive around. It's a normal business. You know, nobody cares. So, I mean, being a rich guy, he can do it. He can shoot me, and nobody asks questions. You know the crazy thing? The next day, I specifically went back there. And I even brought louder speakers in. I brought louder speakers. Like, I was crazy. And I was preaching. And this guy actually, that kind of touched him, because he came. He listened to all my preaching. And he, when I was done, he called me again. He said, I told you yesterday that if you came back here, I was going to shoot you. And you know I can do it and get away with it. He said, but you came back. You must believe in this God. I want to hear more about this God. And, you know, and later, when I started getting matured in faith, I thought about it. I go, well, God, I don't know if I did something wrong. But, you know, it worked for me. You know, he didn't shoot me, you know, But you remember, when you get born again newly, there's this faith that is burning in you that you believe. But what happens is that we sit in church for so long and we stop believing God. We stop trusting God. God does not change. He's never changed. If he did it 20 years, if he did it 2,000 years ago, he will do it again today. He is not a respecter of any man. He will make a name for himself. Jesus said, if you don't worship, he said that worship has to go on. I will make the stones rise up and worship. So remove yourself out of the picture and let the Father step in. Let the Father step in and let him do only place. Lift up your hands. Asking him, you have been crying. There's been even some times where you have just stayed up crying and say, God, I need you to move this situation. God, I need you to move this. This is the time to release it unto God. This is the time to release it unto Him. He said, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. For He leadeth me beside a still water. The plan and the purpose of God is rest, to lead you into the still water. That is His plan. That is His purpose. And right now, just lay it at His feet. That woman carried the alabaster box, and she broke it at the feet of Jesus. She said, this is all I've got. I give it. I lay it down. Lay it down this morning. Because what I know is that God is about to move in your life. Lay it down at His feet. And just say, Jesus, I trust you. I know you love me. I know you care about me. I know that you can take this. I give it to you. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And when Jesus came, his sisters, they said, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And so sometimes you go, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why? They said, Jesus, if you were here, we know that this would have happened. But what they forgot was that Jesus is everywhere. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus said, I am not going there, because if I go there, Lazarus will be healed and the name of the Father wouldn't be glorified the way it should be. So he said, I will wait. You see, sometimes you might not be getting what you desire because it's not the time for it yet. God wants to do something bigger than what you desire. And when Lazarus was dead, Jesus said, let's go now so we can wake him up. And they said, well, if he's asleep, let him sleep. He needs a nap. Jesus said, no. He needs me. And Jesus came, they said, why? And Jesus said, I am resurrection and I am power. If you believe, it will happen. Jesus is walking in this room right now. And he's saying, I see that the Lord wants you to step into even deeper water. He wants you to step out even in more faith, extravagant faith that sometimes people will say, man, you're thinking too big. But your God is big. And He wants you to think. He wants you to not have any limitations at all. Because He's called you to be without limits. He said to Abraham, look, as much as you can see. And sometimes that's the problem. We can't see past where we are. But God is saying, look, there is more. Don't stop where you are. Father, I thank you for Ben, Lord. Even for that which you are doing with him. And I pray, God, even as he steps into deeper waters, because the deeper waters is where you show your power even greater. Lead him, Lord. Lead him, Lord. Lead him, Lord. pray for all this young people, Lord, in this church. I ask, Lord, that your fire, God, would begin to ignite them even more, God, that you will begin to quicken them, Lord, that they will become men and women that burn with the fire of the Spirit of God, that your fire will burn through their bones and their marrows, that they will become the burning ones, like John the Baptist was the burning one. I pray that for everyone in this church. And we're going to have the prayer team up here. And if there are things that you have been believing God for, I'm telling you, God wants to do something. There are things you've been praying for, you've been believing God, and you haven't seen an answer. You haven't gotten an answer for it. The prayer team, if you guys can come out, I want you to come out here and then we'll pray for you. There is an anointing of God for that. There is an anointing of God for the breakthrough that you desire, the breakthrough that you're believing for, those things that you have been afraid, you've been so scared of. There is breakthrough in this place that God wants to touch you. We don't have much time. If you need that prayer, just come out here and they will pray for you.
Jesus, not the other way around, but we're learning what it's like to walk with Jesus. So put your hand in his hand and he'll guide you. Don't resist him, don't fight him. His ways are bigger and better. So if you have any need for ministry, I want you to come. Otherwise, we're going to dismiss you. Some of you have children to get. It's understandable. But Jesus is in the room. And let's avail ourselves to him.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.